Rave Radio. Gary K's Almost Daily Rants and Raves.
The Week.
The Women in AV Wavecast.
Green AV. Hey everyone, how are you? It's Midori Connolly, your friendly Chief AV girl, here back with your January edition of the Rave Green AV podcast. And as usual, I have gone out there and selected two amazing people, and I think I'm very, very good at finding fun and interesting people to talk to, and I have done that once again for you this month. So with me today, I have Jill Drury, who is the co-founder and CEO of Drury Design Dynamics, based in New York City, and she is also the director at large for CSR and sustainability of the ISIS New York Metro chapter. I also have Johanna Walsh, who is an eco-event planner and CEO of Twirl Event Management. I know Johanna's bi-coastal. She's in San Francisco and New York, and these ladies work all over the United States and probably other parts of the world, too, working in the area primarily of event production, some event planning, logistics, and AV, and all of that good stuff. So I just wanted to say welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us. It's great to be here.
So Jill, and just so everybody knows, we may have some technical difficulties at times with Johanna. So if it gets too bad, we'll just do what we have to do. But, you know, it's the joys of having a conversation from 3 points around the United States. So Jill, let's start with you. And just if you want to give us a little bit about, you know, your background, a little bit about Drury Design Dynamics, and then just maybe a little something about, you know, your involvement with sustainability and Green AV and CSR. Love to hear that.
Sure. Well, let's see. Drury is a full service strategic communications agency, and we were founded in 1981. And our goal is to produce high-quality presentations and meetings and events. We work with Fortune 500 clients, and we produce conferences and meetings, learning and performance programs, social media programs, live entertainment, and basically soup to nuts for whatever our And we have been working together ever since. My passion for sustainability has just been since I was a child. I think it's the way that I was raised. Surrounded by gardeners and a lot of time in the woods. And it's carried on throughout my entire life. So I made my first film about it for the Chappaqua community in New York 22 years ago.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Oh, what a great little fact.
Yeah. Jill trivia.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And Johanna, how about you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I run a fun little event planning, creative event planning company called Twirl Management. Like Midori said, we're out of Northern California and New York City. And we provide a lot of great fun events for our clients, and we have developed this specialty in helping events, large and small, as well as vendors and clients of all different shapes and sizes with their sustainability when it comes to their event programs. We got inspired by this as kind of a different way to look at events. It wasn't because we were, you know, super into recycling, even though that's kind of a passion now. It comes down to efficiency for us, that some of these choices from a, you know, really macro level are better. They make the world work a lot easier and a lot better if we're kind of able to reduce, reuse, recycle, and then think a little bit differently about what and how we're consuming when we're celebrating, when we're trying to launch a new product or align ourselves or reinvigorate a brand, whatever it is, we always kind of come to the place of how can we do this really smartly, and sustainability fills a big part of how to do that event very smart.
Excellent. And so that actually segues really well into kind of what I want you, if you wouldn't mind, I believe you've worked on some projects together that were pretty darn focused on sustainable production. And, you know, we can touch on the AV piece. I know in most cases that's not a focus. It hasn't been traditionally. But, you know, if you can let us know if you were able to incorporate more sustainable AV practices into any events you've done and what that looked like. And then we can talk a little bit more about, you know, that experience and what that means to other AV companies out there. So I'll let you kind of share with me some of those experiences because I think that's really valuable to talk about.
So I work with Johanna frequently on putting together sustainability programs for some of my clients. Whether they choose to buy in or not is a different story. But whether the client buys the whole program or not, what I do as a supplier and as a producer, I look to incorporate sustainability wherever I can. So what I'm doing internally, in-house, and on-site, Drury, for the most part, does a lot of very large conferences from 5,000 to 12,000, 18,000 people. And when you're working with that many people, you have to look for what can you do to reduce your carbon footprint and to be sustainable, whether it's are you doing show books for 25 or 40 people like we used to in the old days, or are we pushing out the information digitally? When it comes to AV, I think that you have to think about, for us, we think about what are we designing? What equipment are we bringing on site? Where are we getting that equipment from? We have discussions with our partners about when they're going to upgrade their equipment, what are they going to replace it with, what are they doing with their old equipment. But when you're on site, you know, I mean, and you know this, Midori, if you're using, you know, LEDs, it's, you know, it's definitely more sustainable. You don't make them as bright as they can go, because if you're putting that against projectors and you have to balance the way things look, it's a whole different ballgame of what's brighter than the other, and you have to have a good look. So I think that there are things that you can do in the way you design an event, both your set, your lighting, and the entire environment from the AV perspective of what you do creatively and how you look to incorporate sustainability. You know, we have a warehouse, and what pieces can we reuse and what pieces are we building new?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's an interesting part of this picture. But an event that Johanna and I did together, which was a lot of fun, particularly for me, because it included all the meeting planning aspects, which I frequently don't get to work on, was the ISIS NYC sustainability event last year. And that was really interesting because we were able to put the APEX ASTM standards into place. And that was really fun and exciting to do. Johanna, do you want to start to talk about some of the challenges and about that?
Well, do you want to go ahead and jump in and talk a little bit about that, Jill, just some of the that experience?
Sure. Working on the ISIS NYC Sustainability Summit was a very interesting experience because I really had the opportunity to see what it was like to work with the standard, putting standards into place from the get-go. And it started with trying to engage the ISIS board and then our committee members. And we really needed to educate them. And Johanna was a huge help with that in what we were trying to accomplish and how we would go about doing that. And that was really an interesting process because if you have someone who's going out selling sponsorship, they need to understand that there are certain sponsors that you can't go after. And there are other sponsors that we really needed to get on board, and we needed to have them know that we had certain expectations from them, particularly on site. So that was a very interesting challenge, and it was a process that took a lot of time from our team to really engage people. But the thing that was really interesting about it was that we had conversations with people that we normally wouldn't have had. And our our sponsors and our vendors got to know us better, and we got to know them better. And I think in the end, it was a much richer event because of that. And perhaps our sponsorships were a little bit richer as well, which is great because of that. But the other thing is that we designed the event, the actual creative for our event. We used the standards as a jumping off point for us and took them into consideration in everything that we did. So our marketplace, for instance, was a marketplace of ideas. None of our sponsors brought any materials to hand out. We had QR codes all around that people could scan. And if they couldn't scan them, we had someone to help them scan them or send the information out. All of our food was local or sustainable. Well, maybe not all of it, but at least say 70% of it. Mm-hmm. And we had to find a composter who would just do composting on site, because the venue that we were at, the Rubin Museum of Art, had recycling, but they didn't, and waste hauler already in place, but they didn't do composting. So how were we training people for this event to compost? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting. And just the whole 360 perspective that we our creative, our educational workshops were based on. The first one was for our sponsors and welcoming them and showing how we wanted to have our marketplace go, and how we wanted them to be telling stories instead of hawking their wares. Mm-hmm. And so there was a dialogue that went on, and relationships were formed instead of handing out 200 cards and walking away maybe with nothing. Mm-hmm. But there were conversations that went on. And we had a workshop that was a lot of fun, that was what to do about waste, where everyone put on their rubber gloves and learned how to sort through the trash. And that was a lot of fun, too.
Right.
So, and in our general session, just in terms of, we had Tansy Whalen speak, who talked about sustainability from the global viewpoint and what our purchasing, how we purchase and the impact that had. And then we had Lee Balin from Bloomberg talk about how he wasn't going to be hiring suppliers to do their events who couldn't do sustainable processes and practices. Mm-hmm. That was a really interesting call to action.
You're looking, like you said, the whole point was, you know, kind of incorporating the entire picture. And what I'm really curious about, and you talked about this a little bit earlier, for an event like that, right? You know, it is very sustainably focused. You know, you're obviously, you know, that's kind of the topic. You know, if you have other clients that maybe aren't so focused on sustainability, Johanna, are you with us again?
I'm here.
Okay, good. And you,
for this moment.
Okay, and I think you might be able to talk to this. You know. Because I think a lot of AV companies are struggling with the idea of, well, if the client's not really interested, how do I sell it to them? And you talked a little bit about smart, and Jill, you did too, you know, smart design, right? Like, that's what we're selling here. How do you bring the two together? And I know you have one client who, you know, their focus wasn't necessarily on sustainability, but you have been able to incorporate it no matter what. And I just wonder if there are certain skills that a company can acquire, or, you know, what the best approach is in your experience?
Well, I think when it comes to AV production, and either of you are welcome to kind of chime in if it, you know, on this, but so much of it comes down to the equipment you utilize for your shows. And really when it comes to tracking and sustainability is equipment that offers great flexibility for shows, but has a lower power draw, and how so that, and from a manufacturing perspective, how the product was supporting products that were made either with Energy Star concepts or with aligning with certain ISO guidelines or various kind of sustainable management for your manufacturing, is what you can kind of use. But it's interesting because we look at certain things that we had an event the other day, and most all of the screens were all LED and LCD, which is wonderful. But to run this like really big aspect of their kind of team building for their executives, they use these large touchscreen displays. And apparently for what they were trying to do, the plasmas were really the only thing that they could do to run the program or for this particular thing. So I think you have to find some flexibility in it, but just really thinking of what impact. And then, you know, some of these newer technologies can be really smart, you know, like an LED patch where you're not having to re-put over gels and change out gels all the time. You can program things a lot easier. They run cooler. You know, and I know that there's still some issues with how much you have to replace. If anything was, if your crews can be a part of your program. So like ensuring that, you know, they need waters and food like everyone else, but to ensure that they know that there's recycling going on, you know, there's composting going on, and you make it really easy because they're, you know, heavy lifting from 5 a.m. until, you know, 5 a.m. the next day, probably not sleeping sometimes. So making their part of it, they can recycle the most and adhere to these programs the most, I think, you know, it's part of your kind of crew care in general when looking at your production crew.
Right. So, it's such a bummer. A lot of that kind of dropped out, but that is actually a point I think a lot of people would be curious about. And Johanne, I know you've had success with this, and Jill, you must have, because, you know, how do you get the crew? How do you get, you know, a group of either freelancers or, you know, Jill, if it's your internal people, how do you get them to shift their mindset? Like you were saying, you know, well, when we design, we look at what do we have in the warehouse? Is there a way that you have found to be most effective to get your technicians to, you know, your designers on board with this idea so that there's buy-in and they are proactively pursuing this?
You know, just this morning in my project lead meeting that we have every Thursday morning here, the conversation was about incorporating green and how are we doing that on site. So I now have a letter that I send out that's not even part of my crew letter that goes out to reach out to the members of my crew, which is separate from the conversations I have with suppliers. Hmm. And the supplier conversation is an ongoing conversation that happens. For instance, my AV supplier was just up in New York, and we sat down for about an hour and a half to talk about sustainability and what are they doing that we can make sure we're taking advantage of, and what aren't they doing that I think that they should be doing, and what ideas do they have for us? Mm. So as we have more of those conversations, those one-on-one that I reach out to my printer, my AV guy, my lighting person, my projectionist, my sound guy, I get information back that I incorporate for the next time. A letter goes out to my crew. My project leads or executive producers on site at the beginning of every tech meeting, they talk about our community on site and what our philosophy about being ethical and about sustainability and being green and recycling, and we make an effort to discuss it. Now, I know that it's not always well received, but we'll keep having the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah. So that's an excellent way to do it. And how simple is that, right? I mean, that's not, you're not, you know, going out there and making huge changes, and it's just simple conversations. And I love the idea of a letter separate from the crew memo. How about you?
I also posted in the in our on-site office.
Excellent.
And it's even things as simple as, you know, saying to my crew, if there is an on-site linen program, please take advantage of it. Mm. Please think to turn off the water when you brush your teeth, turn off lights when you walk out the room, and turn off the air conditioning. Mm-hmm. I mean, even saying those things over and over again, some people will begin to do it, maybe some won't. Mm-hmm. But I think that if we share those thoughts, and think about a conference of over 5 days of 15,000 people doing that every day.
Yes.
That saves a lot.
Yes.
So We can dream.
Right. Well, and Johanna, I know you've had success with, managing labor and, being on site and actually, having people respond positively. Was there something in your approach that worked that you felt, what others could attempt or duplicate?
I think the key thing here is for people to be on your side. So whatever you can use to be on your side when it comes to this and not alienate them through either being, and it's like dealing with any other part of your event, right? Like you can't be too militant about, certain things without being super friendly because you're going to attract more bees or, more people with honey than you are with salt or anything that's salt. Whatever the analogy is.
I love that you just combined three different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Metaphors.
But honestly, the lesson is I think you're right. I have a lot of experience with, the guys on the loading dock or union guys, or maybe you're kind of tired road warrior exhibitors that, we're just packing this up and going to Milwaukee tomorrow, Cincinnati the next day, that's their role and that's their job, and they don't really care. And, so you use whatever else you would use to get your staff, whether it's your F&B staff, your signage staff, on your team and willing to work a little extra harder for you. I'm a young woman and I am a really good flirt, and sometimes that works. It might not be the most PC thing, but that works. Or, making light of it and being like, I know this is kind of crazy, but you help me out, I'll help you out. Or just kind of keeping it really part of the conversation, mm-hmm. and then kind of showing that, making sure you communicate why, if everyone does it, what actually happens? What's the success? What's the numbers around it? Be like, hey, thanks. You made sure that we got really good scores. Or, hey, thanks. You made a difference. Or this is how you could improve also. Mm. I don't know. I feel like that's usually my approach, is kind of a much more flexible one. And just keeping people informed, but also getting them on your side is the big push.
I think that's actually an excellent point. And of course, you two both are beautiful women, so you have an advantage. But for those listening who aren't, beautiful like these two, or flirty or whatever it may be, I think that that's a really good point, that, the idea of expressing to them, that it's a shared outcome, right? That everyone's in together. This is why we're doing it. And, being open to their input or feedback or ideas makes everyone on the same team. And it's not, you have to do this, right? It's because we all know on show site how well that goes over. So we're kind of getting low on time. It just goes by so fast when we have these good conversations. It drives me crazy. But I'm kind of thinking about, in the future, in the near future, in the far future, do you think AV companies should be more concerned about, greener practices, being educated on the standards? I'd love for each of you to kind of weigh in on, what do you think the level of importance this is for AV companies, and what could they possibly do to prepare?
I think that it's extremely important. I believe that hopefully it's the near future, but at one point we're going to be required to have sustainable processes in place. It won't be an option. And so we should start figuring it out now. How can we incorporate sustainability into what we do, into the equipment we use, into the processes we have in place, into our creative elements and our creative thinking and our strategic messaging? How can we share all of this, not just with the AV, but with our clients, with our attendees? And what Johanna had said about being positive, and you too, Midori, it's essential. You have to be positive. You can't expect to turn around and have it all happen at once. And so we have to share best practices with each other. And as an industry, we have to ask people to get on board and then help them get there. And I think that that's how it happens, not hold our knowledge to ourselves. I don't think that that does any good. But I think it's essential.
Right. That's great. That's really good advice. And I love that. So, I have found that in my experience that there are some staging companies out there doing great things, but nobody knows about it. And that's almost as bad as not doing it at all, right? Because people need to learn from each other or we won't be able to advance.
If I could just say also in reference to what was said before is sharing what we've accomplished. That's what gets people on board. They can get excited about it.
Right. Exactly. I love it. And Johanna, how about you? Any thoughts there?
I mean, Jill said some really good stuff. I mean, I really do think the sharing part of it, it's as simple, like, in our industry, there's so many ways to share best practices, I think. You know, there's so many media outlets looking for content. There's Twitter, there's Facebook. And, you know, if you do something really well and spend an hour, like literally just spend an extra hour writing up what you did and what worked for you, I think that, you know, it's good for your business. It's good for the industry. It's good to just also show where you're at. And then also when you keep on doing better and better, you can improve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So definitely sharing is the message today. And you know, I like that message, very positive, the collaboration. And what do you think? Do either of you think, you know, because the ASTM standards are not widely adopted right now, do you see that increasing in the near future? Do you see more people using these standards? Because they include AV. So curious on your thoughts there.
I think it's an uphill battle. I feel, for me personally, for our company, when I look at the standards and what affects us, I can say communications, transportation, on-site office, and AV, but it leaves out so much of what I do. And so I think that we need to create some of our own solutions, because I don't know if the standards will really be sufficient in a way that we need them to be. But it's what we have right now. Mm-hmm. And so we should focus on getting them used and getting them in front of people and helping educate people to understand what they are and how they can work for us.
That's very interesting. And that's actually a conversation I've had with some of my peers, especially at Infocom. You know, is it time for just AV people to put together a standard, which could be incorporated into some of the other event standards? You know, it wouldn't be recreating the wheel. It would actually be kind of just strengthening those standards that are existing, but why not make some that are very industry specific, right? So, you know, that just incorporate the supplier role in having a greener audiovisual production. So that's actually a really good point. And
I would do actually just utilize the comment period for ASTM. Kind of rebrand 8 million different things. I don't know. Sorry, I'm very close to the standards. We work with them all the time and we're starting to certify clients. And I think you confuse the marketplace when you start talking about, you know, creating different ones.
Right, which is a good point. I think that one of the problems that I've heard from other AV companies is that the ASTM standards weren't necessarily, it doesn't feel like they're true standards for an AV company. It feels like they're maybe, you know, standards for somebody organizing an event, but not necessarily from their side. So that, you know, it's just a conversation that
there's an open call right now for comments and changes. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a great way for people to get involved, is to be part of, you know, work part of that. And if there's, then you're right, because the AV ones maybe aren't the best, but I think there's ways to improve those. And so because that's what my corporate clients are all buying right now. They're not buying anything else.
Right. So how, Johanna, if you could, you know, give some insight on how people can, how AV companies can.
So if you go to the GMIC website, gmicglobal.org, there is a tab on there for open for comments for the APEX ASTM standards. And there's a kind of form there to fill out and submit where you're seeing improvements. I mean, we get into talks every day about some of the shortcomings and some of the reworkings that should be in there. So it's definitely open for discussion. These are really, we're in a phase with these standards to market test them, and not necessarily that they're not code yet. They're really available for the market to make sure that they work.
Okay. So I went to the website and you said it's under which tab? This, just so everyone's listening, this is the website of the Green Meeting Industry Council. So it's gmicglobal.org. And under which tab would they find it?
Let's double check because I haven't looked in a while.
Okay. And do they have to be members of GMIC or ASTM to comment, or is this open to everyone?
Not that I know of.
No. Okay.
It's open to everyone.
Okay. Well, we can always look at that later, and I can put that in the comments under the podcast on the podcast page. So I'll make sure I get that for everybody listening, and because I think that that's a great point. You know, maybe that's another way to do this instead. But again, you know, that's the problem with standards is you have various groups who are kind of, you know, like special interest groups who, as Jill mentioned, you know, some are very specialized and some just leave out a lot of what you do. So it's a good conversation. I think that that'd be another show probably to talk about in the future is standards around sustainability. Any last thoughts, any parting thoughts, something that we, you know, maybe isn't exactly relevant to what we talked about today, but you want to share anything?
I think it's really exciting to see how much is going on in our industry when it comes to incorporating sustainability across the board. And for me, what excites me about the APEC standards is that planners, I mean, they're really, to me, written most effectively for planners from what I can see. And it's exciting to see that they care and they're interested and they want to begin to think about it. So if the planner is interested, and then we can reach out to our suppliers. And I'm beginning to see a lot of collaboration going on between the venue. I was just on the road for one of my jobs where through the whole process, we had the venue's owner represented, and all areas from the planner, from my company with messaging and production. And it was a very collaborative process of how can we incorporate sustainability, but the client was not part of the conversation. As suppliers, we were all involved in putting it into place.
That's really interesting. So actually bringing suppliers closer and giving them a greater role, right? That's really cool to hear that type of collaboration without a client involved. Johanna, anything else?
You know, I think my whole thing with any kind of standards or checklist is not to worry about how far you get, but the fact that you started looking at it in the first place. So not to worry that you're not going to meet every level or meet every qualification, but just even starting looking at them is really kind of the important thing in championing the small changes.
Okay, cool. So definitely good words of encouragement for somebody who may just find it a little bit too daunting, right? Great. Well, thank you both so much for being on the show. And I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up with my monthly challenge. But for now, I'll go ahead and let you ladies just give you a great thank you for being here today.
Thanks, Midori. It's fun to be here.
Okay. Well, things got a little bumpy there. I'm so sorry. But again, thank you so much, Johanna and Jill, for being on with us this month. Now, I told you all last month that I was going to be throwing down a little green challenge and something I plan to carry out through the rest of 2013. And what I would like to do is at the end of the year, hear from you and see how you have been able to implement some of these challenges that I throw out and see if anybody does maybe all 12 of them or 10 or whatever we decide to do. So this month, what I would propose that you do, my little challenge for you, is to do an assessment of where you stand, kind of like an audit, right? So a green audit. Just how green are you? How much of a part does sustainability play in your business practices? And I want you to honestly answer that on a scale of 1 to 10 right now as of today, totally honest. And then what I want you to do is do an assessment of thinking about how passionate you are about this topic on a scale of 1 to 10. And then what I'd like for you to do is make an assessment of where the discrepancy lies. If your organization is at a 1 and you feel like your passion is at a 10, I challenge you to take an assessment of what you need to do to get those numbers to meet a little bit closer. So basically, I just want you to do kind of an audit and think about what you need to do to start implementing green practices and become a greener AV company. I will give you specific help this year. Every month I'll say, you know, try this, do that. But I think that this might be a good starting point for all of you. So I want to hear from you. I want to know how you're doing. I want to know if you need help because I can help. I have resources to help. And there's a great community out there of people who want to support you and your passion. So if you're at a 10 and a 10, I want to hear about it too. You belong on my show. So let's hear from you this year. This is a community, not just me talking all the time. And thanks again, everybody, for being here. And I will talk to you next month.